Genesis chapter 9, verse 16, Scripture says, "And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that's upon the earth." The story of Noah's preservation in the ark is a picture of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. By means of this flood, Noah's family was separated from the old earth and brought into a new earth, a new world of divine grace. Man would be far better off if he was honest and thought of himself as a victim of drowning. He'd be better off to view himself as worthy of God's justice and God's wrath and God's destruction, because when you find men and women like that in the Bible, there's always hope for them. But most people go through the world like Noah's generation did, full of themselves and proud of themselves and unconscious of the fact that they need God for anything. Man would be better off to view himself as worthy of absolute divine destruction than anything else. In this rainbow, God gave to mankind a reminder that he would watch over him. He gave to mankind the authority to overrule the entire animal kingdom, to rule and reign over the earth, but he did so with this understanding that when it rains and you see a rainbow, be mindful of this, that I, God, have committed to myself that I will never again destroy the earth by flood. Like Noah, you and I stand under a divine covenant which has its true faithfulness in God and nowhere else. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 8, wrote these words, "In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." The older I get, the more I like to look at rainbows. I don't know what it is about Patsy's house, but she has something magical about her house. Every time there comes a rain, there's a rainbow. I'm sure I sit at my house and look out the window and look at it. She probably sits at her house and can't see it at all. But there's always a beautiful rainbow that looks like right beside her house, and it goes up over the hill and out of sight. And it's so pretty and it's so clear and it's so just so beautiful to me. And every time I see that thing, I think, my God is never, ever going to destroy the earth again by means of a flood. I want to talk about a couple of things tonight about God's rainbow, if the Lord will help me. First of all, I want to talk about the tenor of God's rainbow. This rainbow of God, and he talks about it in verse 8 down through verse... I'll tell you, let's just take the time to read that. That's Genesis chapter 9, verse 8. God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that's on the earth. And God said unto Noah, This, that is the rainbow, is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that's upon the earth. Back in chapter 6 of Genesis, and beginning with verse 5, let me read that to you. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. It says this, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. I stopped reading too quick. Because to complete that statement, you have to read verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's a covenant of pure grace. Noah wasn't any better than anybody else that lived in his generation. And he wasn't any worse than they were. He was just bad enough for God to pour out on him all the transgressions that he had committed in his mind and his heart and in his body and destroy him. But God was pleased to show him grace. There was nothing in Noah demanding such a covenant, but God was pleased to give it to him. This rainbow that God sent springs forth of his mercy. Mercy that overflows. Mercy that's abundant. Mercy that is without bounds. Mercy that can't be held up by man's effort or man's initiative. I called home a couple of days ago. I was down in Tennessee and I said, I wasn't sure you'd be up at this time. John said, I'm up, boys. He said, I'm scared. He said, it's scary up here. He said, it's really raining and storming and something awful. Said, I was worried about the dogs. And he said, it was something awful. Now, the storms of this life can be frightening to this flesh, but they can't be frightening to the soul. This covenant is of pure, free grace. Unsought by man, but freely given by the hand of God. By nature. We're just confident and cocky and sure of ourselves. But God, when the time comes, He brings a man or a woman down to the place where they're helpless. And He shows them their helplessness. And He leaves them there in their helplessness until they cry out, God, help me. And then He does. But this is a covenant that's all of promise. It shall come to pass. The 16th verse that I read as our text tonight Remember, this verse is God speaking to himself. Not God talking to Noah. It's not Noah talking to God. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it. You ever stop thinking about that when you look at a rainbow? One sure thing is, you may go past a rainbow and not look at it. There might be a rainbow over your house and you never see it. But if there's a rainbow, God's looking at it. That I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that's on the earth. It shall come to pass. There's not one word of hope or decree or passion except in God's actions. God said, I will. Look upon it, that I may remember. And God said to Noah in verse 17, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that's on the earth. God says that covenant, that token, that rainbow doesn't mean a thing to anybody else, but it means something special to me. It means something special to me. You know, I don't know what kind of day you've had today. You don't know what kind of day I've had. Doesn't make any difference, really. But today, we stand under a covenant which denotes absolutely nothing of our effort or of our energy, of our ability or of our talent. Someone wrote these words. It's like a living spring of waters sweet and clear. There's not an if to foul the stream, nor a perhaps here. Grace is the fountainhead, the source from where it came. In wills and shalls of gospel grace, eternally the same. See, it's not of you. It's not of me. But it's of God. It's of God. Now this covenant that he speaks of here in verse 16 is a covenant that not only has it been since that day, it's been since that day, but it's a covenant that will be kept forever. I like those kind of things if they're good, don't you? God said, not only since that day have I kept it, but I'll keep it until that day. Never again. There'll never be another time. That fellow who put out that half page or whole page newspaper advertisement that the Lord was coming on May the 21st and he didn't come and he said he messed his arithmetic up. It's going to be in October now. Those people can do whatever they want to do. And I let them do whatever they want to do. And if a fellow wants to come out here and build an ark, he could build an ark. I'd probably let him build it just to draw a crowd, you know. It'd be interesting to see what kind of crowd he'd draw. But I'm not going to worry about it too much. Because I have a covenant. I have a covenant in the Word of God that says I have destroyed the earth by water once and I won't do it again. It's a covenant that has been and will be kept for the saints for all that period of time. That covenant protects me from the floods that covered the mountaintops. I know there's a lot of folks that argue and debate, was this flood worldwide? Did it cover the whole world? I believe it did. Word of God said it did, so I believe that. If I'm wrong about that, then the Word of God can change me. But this covenant protected Noah and his three sons and their wives from a flood that covered the tallest mountains on the earth. And he says, you don't have to worry about that anymore. It won't ever rain that much. Just a few weeks ago when there were floods all across this country and in Japan and in other places and you were watching it on the news and they were showing the highlights of water that was knee-deep, waist-deep, shoulder-deep, head deep. Anybody find any water 27,000 feet deep? Huh? Not a one. And it won't. This is a covenant that will never be removed. Never be removed. It'll never be changed. God won't destroy the world with water ever again. Oh, he may cause people some problems. He may cause people some difficulties. And he might flood this building for all I know. But I do know this, that he won't destroy the world ever again by water because he said he wouldn't. It may have its promises changed and it may have its terms restated. Remember, this is God's world. He can do whatever he wants to do to it. Someone wrote this, "This covenant of grace all blessings secures. Believer, rejoice, for all things are yours, and God from his purpose shall never remove, but love you and bless you and rest in his love." That's good news. Good news. Now, neither Noah's covenant nor the covenant of grace depends on humanity in any way, shape, or fashion. Not everybody I know of who has a system of religion, it's got some of them in it. Here I stand. Here you stand. If my understanding of the scriptures is anywhere near correct, here we all stand. Totally helpless. Dependent on God. In every way, every shape, and every fashion you can imagine. This is a covenant that is laid on the mercies of God. Who else can you put it on? Please don't put it on this preacher. I was listening to some fellow on TV the other day, and he was telling these folks all these things, you know, and he kept saying, you know, if these don't come to pass now, you can come back to me about them. If these don't come back to me, you can come see me. I'm going to tell you something. If there's the Word of God in this book, and the Scriptures teach it, and I preach it, and it doesn't happen, you talk to God about it. Because it's His covenant. It's His covenant. Instead of being a covenant that's laid on me, it's a covenant that's holding me. Instead of being the covenant that I'm holding up, it's a covenant that's holding me up. It is impossible for God to look upon Christ and then to be angry with His saints. He cries at our smallest error. And I really want to emphasize that. I really want to make a point out of that. At our smallest error. At our smallest fault. At our smallest act of disobedience. You know what God says about it? When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Isn't that good news? It is to me. Good news to me. This covenant of divine mercy is an eternal covenant that's free from man. It leaves us out of the picture. We're out of it. Neither time nor circumstances can alter even one of this covenant's abundant provisions. The bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, he said, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that's upon the earth. God said, I'll look at it. By covenant. I made this covenant. I agreed to its provisions. Somebody wrote this. He loved the world of His elect with love surpassing thought, nor will His mercy ever neglect the souls His Son has bought. The warm affections of His breast toward His chosen burn, and in His love He'll ever rest, nor from His earth return. Still to confirm His oath of old, see in the heavens His bow, no fierce rebukes but love untold awaits His children now. That's good news. That's good news. I can't assure you, and neither can anybody else, anything that's going to happen tomorrow, or even before this day is over. I have no refuge. I have no solution for you. I have no answer for you. But I can tell you somebody who does, and somebody who you can believe, and somebody you can trust, and somebody you can rest in, and somebody you can hope in. It's the one who wrote these words. The covenant of law and the covenant of grace are always at odds with one another. You know, there's only two religions in the world. I mean, really, when you get down to it, there's two religions in the world. There's the religion that depends entirely and absolutely and finally on Christ, and there's everything else. It doesn't make any difference what it is. It doesn't make any difference what its consequences are. It doesn't make any difference what its side effects are. It doesn't make any difference what its preliminaries are or what its results are. There's two religions in the world. One depends entirely on Christ, and the other one depends on man for some degree of it. But in Christ, there's a pardon, and there's a refuge forever, as long as you need it. By stumbling saints and tottering children of grace who are unable in their strength and in their energy to be able to do anything for themselves. Now let's think about the token of God's rainbow. The bow shall be in the cloud, but I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that's upon the earth. You know why God gives us tokens? Because by nature we can't believe. Our constant forgetting. I know there are people that remember a lot more than I do, and probably most people remember a lot more than I do. But our constant forgetting is a reminder that we need God to give us reminders. Our denial of Christ's forgetfulness reminds us that we need God to refresh our memory about who and what Christ is and what He's done. I need those tokens. And you, at some time or another, need those tokens. You know what? God never needs them. God never needs them. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that's upon the earth. God doesn't need them. You know, every child of grace shall surely see this token of the covenant. Like I say, I really like it when that rainbow settles behind Patsy's house down there. She can't see, and I get a chance to sit in my kitchen window and look out at it. But she has to see one somewhere else because that's too close for her. And maybe you have to see one somewhere else too. But every child of grace will see this token of the covenant. God paints this assurance on the rain cloud as a testimony of His integrity to never again destroy this earth by means of water as He did in the days of Noah. That's good news. That's good news. God uses the rain as a predecessor to our insurance of enablement. It rains, doesn't it? Don't we have rain all around us? I thought it was going to rain all day today and never did rain. At least not here. And that might be the reason that so few see Christ in their daily life is because they're too busy looking for the rain instead of looking for Him. They're looking for the rain. Everybody's looking for the rain. But who's looking for Christ? The clouds and rain make no rainbows unless the sun shines. And sometimes not even then. The rainbow is God's reminder, however, that the showers are over. You look out the window some days, it's been raining for 2 or 3 days, you think, man, I wonder if this stuff's ever going to stop. I wonder if we need to maybe build an ark, or maybe at least we need to lay in a supply of gopher wood and some pitch and so on. Maybe we need to start thinking about that. We forget about this promise of God that because this has happened, I will never again destroy the world by water. The rainbow is God's reminder that the showers are over. Over. Now, what can we see in this covenant witness? What can we see when we look at this rainbow? Well, we see supreme glory, that's for sure. Because what's like it? What's like a rainbow? What's like it? What's like the beauty of those colors? You ever notice they don't run together? They look like they're painted as separate lines, and yet we know that they're just simply a picture of the sphere that God's put in place. We see the glory of that rainbow, and we see the beauty of that rainbow, which we've never seen in His flesh. God is a spirit, and consequently He has no flesh to show us. But He sends us this beautiful picture of the rainbow. We see not only His transcendent glory and beauty, but we see His vengeance satisfied. A bow mighty to destroy, but also a bow without a string. A bow for all who are given eyes to see. You don't need to have perfect vision to see a rainbow. I remember being in a rest home one day and it had come a rainstorm. I was standing on a porch. I was talking to a fellow there. The fellow I thought was blind. And he said, he pointed over that way and he said, look at that rainbow over there. And I looked. Sure enough, there was one there. I said, how did you see that rainbow? Can't see anything else. He said, I don't know. He said, I just know when there's one around. Bow without a string. A bow for all who are given eyes to see. A bow for all to appreciate who would enjoy it. We see here that His vengeance and His justice are now on my side. Oh, I remember. It's been 44 almost 45 years ago now, when God came to me, showed me His glory, showed me His justice, showed me His holiness, scared me to death. Scared me to death. And yet I look at His vengeance and His justice this evening and I rejoice in Him. There's no fear in my heart about God's justice. There's no fear in my heart about God's vengeance. Because He's God. He's the Holy God. And His Son, Jesus Christ, has paid for my sins. Behold the joy of God in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who is the rainbow that defines colors so distinctly and so clearly that they stand out like a picture in a dark sky. I was camping one time at Cumberland Falls. They have a moon boat down there. If you've never seen it, you've really missed it. I mean, it's something to see because all my life I've seen rainbows in the daytime. One time in my life I was blessed to see a moonbow. It's something to see. It's something to see because the brilliance of those colors against that dark sky speaks that much more plainly about God's justice. This rainbow displays every attribute of God, standing side by side with its current kindred. Holiness is next to justice. It's next to grace. It's next to love. It's next to power. We can go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And in doing so, it demonstrates the fullness of the Savior's ultimate glory. Oh, what a Savior. In light of the rainbow, what are the children to see and to do? The bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that's upon this earth. What should children do when they see a rainbow? You know, I think as we get older, I'm not a single child here tonight. I guess Diana will have to consider her our child, you know. But she's almost grown too. You know what children do? Act like children. And if they could get their hands on a rainbow, what would they do with it? It would be hilarious. Children act like children. And what should we, who are the blessed recipients of the grace of God, what should we do? Should we be able to touch this rainbow of God? Or act like children? The presence of Christ makes His people's perfume to abound everywhere. I try not to let you all notice this, but occasionally we have a visitor here. And it's not always the same person. And they've got some kind of new perfume on. And it really messes my nose up. And I can hardly sing, and I can hardly preach. And I'm not about to say whose it is or what kind it is or whatever it is. I just know this, that there are certain things in some people's perfume, or maybe it's some guy's aftershave, I don't know, that really affects me. But the presence of Christ makes His people's perfume to abound everywhere. wherever they go, wherever they are, whether it's in the hospital, a funeral home, walking down the highway at the Walmart, at the Kroger, at the gas station, wherever it is, something shines out about these children that says, these are God's. These are God's. We ought to gaze at that rainbow. I don't know whether it's getting old or what it is, but I found out that the older I get, the more I can sit and look at things. Sometimes that rainbow pops up down there in that valley between those hills, and I can sit and look at it for an hour at a time. I mean, just sit there for an hour and look at that thing. Not moving, not talking to anybody, just sit there and look at it. We ought to gaze. God sends you a rainbow somewhere. Look at it. Don't turn your head and keep going. Don't just ignore it. It's a reminder from God that I'll never destroy this world again with a flood. As we gaze at that umbrella, at that rainbow, let us be mindful to both praise and to admire in its fullest manifestation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone wrote this, I will praise you every day now that your anger has passed away. Comfortable thoughts arise, but only from your bleeding sacrifice. That's good news. That's good news. We ought to confess our sins with humiliation to our beloved shepherd. My shepherd has set me free. My shepherd has hunted me down when I've wandered in the mud pits and in the slough of despond. My shepherd has hunted me down and with his shepherd's hook has brought me back, put me back in the fold, made me feel his love and made me feel his pardon and made me feel his forgiveness. He's made me to acknowledge my failure to love him as I ought to. He has decreed to all my need and my dependence to rest upon him for all things and in all things. The bow shall be in the cloud and I will look on it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that's upon the earth. We ought to remember the deluge of wrath that was turned aside by God's love and compassion. You and I live in a world that's fascinated with big numbers. Now, if God had destroyed 8 and saved everybody else that was in the world, we'd have thought that's okay, that's cool. But the God of the Bible saved 8, saved at least 2 of all the animals, and destroyed everything else. Did you know that God could have just as easily have saved everybody except 8 and except 2 and 7? But he turned aside that deluge of wrath because of his love and his compassion to display and demonstrate in them and to them and through them his great mercy and love. You know, apart from this rainbow, there's nothing but darkness and despair in the wages of sin. You ever wonder why God let Noah build on that ark for 100 years? I mean, God could have created that ark in 2 seconds. He could have said, let there be. I believe that God let Noah spend 100 years building that ark so that every time that hammer drove a peg into the wall, every time that old saw sawed another tree into a board, that Noah was mindful of the fact, God's coming. God's coming. Everybody else said, Noah's crazy and alone. Everybody else said, Noah's lost his mind. He's nutty in a fruitcake. Old Noah, he just keeps hammering, sawing. God said, I'm coming. And in all the darkness and the despair of the world that he lived in, Noah's faith was what set him and his family apart. Oh, dear friends. And God said unto Noah, this is a token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that's upon the earth. Believe. See, believing him puts you, and it puts me, under the divine arch of this beloved covenant until we can hear God say to us, as he says to himself these words, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that's upon the earth. Why did God make a rainbow? The answer simply is this. That you and I might know that he's God. And knowing that he's God, we can rest completely in his mercy. Amen.